Do you like wrestling trivia? Then check out the 5-Star Match Game, the pro wrestling quiz show. I'm Joe Gagne, and every episode, I grill 3 contestants with 5 rounds of power-packed wrestling trivia. We have over 30 evergreen episodes in the archives covering WWE, AEW, Japan, Mexico, and much, 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 much more. Play along at home and check it out today.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey kids, it's Jeff. Wanted to kind of give a heads up on this episode. First, we're going to talk to Rob McCarron, the creator of Shake Them Ropes. After that, Nova and I are going to delve into some topics that are going to be a little bit adult in nature. Let's put it that way. So I'm just putting this out there in case you're listening in the car with kids or friends or speaker or whatever. This one's going to be PG-13 bordering on R. So, headphones and earmuffs for those kids. And now, Shake Them Ropes.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hey kids, Shake Them Ropes. It's actually the 10th anniversary of Shake Them Ropes this week. I'm here with the founder, the man, the myth, the legend, Rob McCarron. Hi, Rob.
Hi there. I mean, you say that as if it's a surprise. I mean, we've been doing this show, you and I, nonstop, week after week for the last 10 years. You say that like it's amazing that I'm here on this episode. Why would I miss another episode that we've done for the last 10 years?
Well, I mean, you know, you took an extended break and then came back for a show one day.
Oh no,
I mean, boom. Yeah. No.
I just had something that day. I had to miss an episode. I had to get some
milk and cigarettes, and I said I'd be back in the afternoon.
Yeah. And here I am.
That's actually my first question. Are you happy or sad or ambivalent that this thing that you've created, I've continued for 10 years now after its inception?
Continued after what, 6 or so years that I was not doing it anymore?
Yes.
Something like that. Am I amazed? Yes. Let's be frank. I'm amazed. Hey, I see that you keep on going and there's no shortage of wrestling to talk about. I mean, there's more wrestling on TV now than there was when we were doing this show.
Oh God, so, we could have never, because the one thing I took from you that I still maintain is I don't want to go more than an hour talking wrestling.
Right. Well, when we first started doing it, remember, it was like a half an hour.
Yeah.
Like the whole idea when we first started doing it, and I think none of the episodes actually used this format.
No, we did, because I remember that. Go ahead.
We tried. Was PTI for pro wrestling.
Yes. And we're going to stay on a clock, and we're going to have all these sections, and we're going to do 2 minutes and out. And then all of a sudden it was like, Hawkins won't shut up.
Yeah. You had to keep talking about Ric Flair or some shit.
Oh, I had to. Hold on here.
I had to bring in some more Tully references. So
you had rants in you. Yes. And then it's like, no, but I mean, it was interesting because it's like at one point we're doing that and I thought I was going to be on a rotating schedule. It was like, because you had ideas that you're going to bring in other people to do. I'm like, okay, cool, whatever. And then all of a sudden it's like, hey, we're doing this show. It's like, all right, cool.
Get online now.
Get online. Yeah. You had a couple of those.
I feel like the PTI for Pro Wrestling Podcast morphed into, we'll go as long as we want and we'll do 20 good minutes with Randy Orton every week.
And then eventually it became, how long can we go until we don't talk about pro wrestling?
Right.
Because
Yeah.
you were into the Levitard thing at the time.
A little bit of that. Well, not only that reason, it was because, let's face it, there was a gap there where, okay, this is pre-AEW.
Yes.
You know, NWA doesn't have TV. MLW doesn't have TV. Not that we're going to talk about those things to begin with, but there's a lot of news that surrounds those. And it's Raw, SmackDown. NXT meant nothing because this was even... I mean, this was right
well,
around
NXT
when
NXT saved this show in some ways because we did the 100 we did the 100 matches to see before you die.
Yeah, we did thing. We did that, and NXT was starting to do the fun thing at not the Performance Center, but Full Sail. But when we started, like, it was still kind of in its infancy, and then the network was going, and we had the network to be able to provide a lot of content for us. But Raw and SmackDown weren't nothing to write about.
We
there was
hated
no AEW.
Watching those. Yeah.
And we weren't watching, like, Impact. We weren't watching TNA, and, you know, we wouldn't have anything to say if we were watching TNA.
Occasionally,
so
we do,
of,
like, New Japan, or I'd go to a PWG show. And
yeah, PWG was good stuff, but yeah, it
became that's
a
right.
Lot
you
of,
try,
let's
you
talk
tried,
about NXT.
You tried to, you tried to do daily updates on the G1, and they struck your account.
They struck my account, and then I gave up after the third day because I was like, I'm not going to deal with that anymore. I won that battle, by the way, but it took a week and a half. So I'm like, I'm not going to do G1 updates anymore. It was just trying different things, but no. And then, you know, I got a different job, got married, things happened, and it's like, I can't be watching Raw for 3 hours. Even now, even to this day, like, I'm keeping up with Raw for the most part. But as far as what I'm watching it recorded, and I'm skipping to the good parts that I want to see.
Yeah. I don't know. What we do now is we do news and headlines, and then we call it the lazy river of wrestling criticism. And it's like, whatever we had a chance to watch.
Talk about what you liked, maybe talk about what was ridiculous, but, like, the news is where it's at. It's like a lot of my fandom in a lot of sports right now, the NBA, the NFL, it's all in the transaction. Like, right now, what am I more excited about? Is it AFC and NFC championship weekend?
Yes.
Or is it the fact that nobody wants the best NFL coach of all time? Like, I am so more interested in the fact that Bill Belichick's going to have to go be a defensive coordinator for somebody if he wants to stay in the league, or he'll go to ESPN and do TV. That's fine too. But the dude ain't getting a head coaching job, and that's crazy. And also the Lions are good.
I couldn't believe that, Atlanta didn't take him up, that there was a falling out there, like a conflict of attitudes or philosophies. I'm like, that's Bill Belichick. That's the guy who had the greatest Super Bowl comeback against your team. And you have him in the building for your second interview. And you say, oh, I don't know. We don't see eye to eye on this, Bill.
Well, that comeback also happened 10 years ago. And if you're Bill Belichick and you're asking for all this power, like, maybe they don't want to do it.
Yeah.
And then if you're the Falcons, maybe in 3 years, you don't want to be looking for a new coach. The hope is Raheem Morris would be there for
a
decade.
They're going to be searching for a new coach in 3 years, because that's who Raheem Morris is. We've seen this act before.
I mean, maybe it's possible,
okay.
But the hope is there. The hope is not there with Bill Belichick. I mean, Bill Belichick, it's 3 years and then you're probably out of there. So, and maybe they just don't want to do it. Maybe Bill Belichick isn't super into it, and he just thinks he is, and people were seeing other ways. I don't know. I'm just saying, the transaction, you can do the same thing in the NBA, right? The same thing in the NBA. I don't watch the games until April. I watch the big matchups sometimes.
Oh yeah. I
now,
don't watch NBA.
I
don't watch now. I don't watch hockey or baseball until the playoffs. So it's
I'll watch
you,
baseball.
You like
all
baseball.
Year
You're
long.
A baseball guy.
I'll
you
watch baseball all year long. I'm watching soccer now. Like,
what about Collision? Are you watching Collision?
I will do the same thing. And it usually happens on Sundays. If there's, you know, some sit down time, is I will check out the old DVR, and I will skip past commercials. I will see if, you know, I'm not watching every Daniel Garcia match. I'm sorry, just not doing it. Like, I know he's good, but until he's doing something of importance, I'm not watching Daniel Garcia versus El Hijo del Vikingo. I'm just not watching it. In fact, I'm not watching any Hijo del Vikingo. I can't even say the name, and that's my fault. That's a me problem. It's no one else's.
Luchador number 5 on the AEW
son of Viking
roster. Yeah, the
son
Viking.
Of Viking.
Yes, son of Viking.
I mean, Tony Khan has got this going a little bit like the WCW Cruisers, where there's a lot of cool dudes, and they're in there, but they're just fodder for the real guys. And I'm kind of bummed that, you know, that Andrade is not there anymore. Because
I liked him.
And I hope he does well in WWE, because Andrade, and I think we were still doing this show. We went to the Philadelphia Royal Rumble.
Yeah, we
did. We saw Andrade versus Johnny Gargano, and Andrade was a superstar.
With that entrance with the mask and the mariachi band, that thing was one of the best entrances I'd ever seen.
He's so good, and I'm just so bummed that the last 6 years of Andrade have been wasted, because he's so good and deserves so much more. And hopefully he gets that in WWE where... Like, let's face it, the Lucha guys, right? The Lucha guys or the smaller guys are not fodder for the show. What has Chad Gable been able to do for the last 2 years? I mean, he's getting TV time every single week, multiple segments. You have Angel is back, Humberto is back, and they've got something going on with the LWO. And maybe it's not top of the card stuff, but it's consistent, it's weekly, and it's story-based. There's a lot of stuff going on. The WWE is doing what people discredited them for doing 20 years ago. And obviously it's a whole new world, but Tony Khan's got all this talent, and it's a bummer sometimes what he's doing week to week with them. And there's no consistency. And talk about the Rumble transaction.
That was the Rumble where Asuka and Nakamura won, right? And then Ronda Rousey came out after the Rumble.
Ronda Rousey debuted after the Rumble. That was the, I believe, the three-way Braun, Kane, and Brock.
Wow. I just remember that's the one where we had the fan with the natty sign in the luxury suite.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Big fan of Natalia, mother and daughter. Aleister Black versus Adam Cole. I mean, there was some really good stuff. Also, I mean, we don't talk about him anymore, but Velveteen Dream, that was like his breakout match with Chris Hero.
That's right. Although he made a comeback last week, kind of, into the public eye.
Last-ditch effort, whatever the case may be, who knows, just maybe to try and get some independent or some signing bookings, because he's never coming back to the big show. But yeah, I mean, all that's to say is... The shows are there. There's so much wrestling. And if you are a fan of it, you are going to find something that you like. A lot of it bums me out because it could be so much better. And that's kind of been the same thing for
forever. It feels
like
a heatless mass of just bleh. You know, there's
a lot of good at the same time.
There's a lot of good at the same time. But the thing is, you're not in... Like, God, thank God you're not in Discords or Slacks.
No, I will never
anymore.
Be. Why would I? No, well, I'm not in Slacks. I'm not in Discords.
Well, no. Or on Twitter anymore. Or, I mean, in terms of getting feedback for these shows, because the tribalism is something in here. It's like, oh, if you say anything critical about AEW, what, you want WWE to win? No, I just want it to be better.
Let's face it. You saw the news this week. You saw what Raw went for. WWE has won. Like, there's no not winning about that. And then AEW, if they get a rights fee increase with their shows, they've also won.
They win
Everyone's
too,
winning.
Yes. The boat, you know, what, rising there's tide no, raises all ships, all that
there's
other
There's no verse. I mean, wrestling is as hot now as it was. Like, it feels different than the late 90s. It feels so different than the late 90s, because the late 90s was Steve Austin, Goldberg, Sting. Like, the stars were hot, right? And then because the stars were hot, the business was hot and those companies were hot. Right now, it's not, you know, as hot as Roman Reigns is, it's not Roman Reigns as this big star. It's not Kevin Owens as this big star. WWE is hot.
Yeah.
AEW has their moments where they're hot. There's not any one singular. This is as NFL as NFL gets, where it's not about the name on the back. It's about the logo.
Mm-hmm.
And both of the logos right now are doing super good. And it allows for talent and in the underlying promotions to also... do well. I mean, let's face it, Dolph Ziggler left WWE, didn't go to AEW, went to Impact. There's more than one option for a lot of these workers based on what they want to do with their life. And you see some stars go away and join MLW or join NWA if you want to. I don't know why anyone who has career aspirations would join the NWA, but some people do. Maybe you have career aspirations but have no other options, and that's why you would go there. But there's a lot of options for folks. The transaction is super exciting because you don't know where these stars are going to go. You want to. It's the new ratings. It's not ratings talk, even though some people get bogged down in viewership.
Oh boy,
right?
We still do. And the demo. The demo's a big one for some people.
But it's how much money are these shows going to get when they go up? Because we're going to be talking about it in 5 years. We're going to talk about it in 4 years with NXT.
Uh-huh.
I mean, NXT has pittance right now. But you put stars on
that
show
on
you
the
make
CW.
Stars.
They're gonna die on the CW, I think.
See,
I think.
And here's the thing, right? Right now, NXT is on USA.
Right.
Okay. That is super for them. But people have the CW.
Yeah.
And maybe they'll go find it. CW's trying things with sports. I don't know if you watched college football this year and saw that some big games were on the CW this
year.
Yeah,
no, that they made a deal with the ACC. And the Carolina-Virginia game where Virginia beat number 10.
They had an exclusive Clemson game. So yeah, maybe it's not there right now. But in 5 years, if NXT is a part of a rise with having live sports on the CW, there's no one out there that can tell me that the CW won't be able to at least get viewership. Are they going to be a top network? No. But can they get viewership? Yeah. My YouTube TV has two CW channels. Like what are these two CW channels doing on my TV? But I got two of them. And will I watch NXT? I mean, I don't really watch NXT now, but if there's a big moment or something, and maybe I'll check it out. I'll probably still record it. It'll still be there.
Two questions to get you out of here. Number one, is my audio any better? Because that was the thing you always used to rail on me
I was sending you equipment. Like, yeah. I was just like, here, have this thing I don't need anymore. You sound like you're in the room with me, which
Thank
is great.
You.
Hopefully,
Perfect.
Hopefully I sound that way because,
you know, I got a ring light to light me up. So I'm now in high def. I'm a semi-professional now. Like you were always
I got a ring light. I don't have it plugged in right now, but I got one. It's one of those things where it's like I do video calls all the time for work-related things.
I can't stand doing video. I can't have having my camera on during video calls.
I do video calls, but like it's just the webcam mic working. This thing usually sits all the way over here, but no, it's here now. So I don't know. I haven't had a lot of this stuff plugged in, but every once in a while, I'm like, Jeff, I'm going to plug it in. You can get me. And then usually I back out.
Yeah.
Usually I back out. And then here I am for our 10th consecutive year of doing this show together.
You've just been silent the whole time. You haven't had much to say. That's all it was.
I mean, how can you talk over Chris? I mean, that guy doesn't get, you know, let anyone get a word in. How am I supposed to talk?
Well, you're welcome back anytime. You know that. You have an open invitation since this is your gig.
I'm going to leave. I have notes and I'm just going to go quickly through notes. First of all, there's only three possible people who can win the Women's Royal Rumble match.
Okay, I was going to ask you, who's going to win the Royal Rumble?
There's only three possibilities.
Go for it.
Bayley is my number one possibility.
She's going to win.
Nia Jax is my number two possibility because you can easily do that. You can still do the Bayley EO story separate from winning the Royal Rumble.
Right.
And maybe it works better that way, but then you have Rhea versus Nia big match.
I'll give you my thought process if you want.
Take your thought process after I give you this third explosive possibility
for
the winner.
Yes, yes.
Third, probably far behind, but honestly, the only other person who could possibly win this match. It's down to two. It's Bayley and Nia Jax or Sasha Banks.
Yeah. I'm not on the train that she's signed anything with AEW. I think she could show up on Saturday. I do. They always have one winner on each show. I think the men's winner is coming from Raw. I think the women's winner is coming from SmackDown. I think Bayley EO is the program, and then they do the Becky Lynch can't get WrestleMania event. How am I going to get there? And then she gets the Elimination Chamber wins and goes into against Rhea. That's pretty
much
it.
I mean, that could possibly be it. I think the Bayley EO story makes sense, and clearly they're going this route. But you can do – there's 10 weeks – between the Rumble and WrestleMania, there is plenty of time for other things to develop.
Yes.
And you have a pay-per-view in between with the Elimination Chamber. There's so much time for things to happen. The five possibilities on the men's side.
Go for it.
I think CM Punk and Cody Rhodes are everyone's favorites to probably win.
All right.
The Rock, if you want to have him come back and do the thing with Roman. And then the only other two possibilities, like literally Drew, sorry, you're not a possibility. Bobby Lashley, who by the way is the only SmackDown person to be announced for this match so far. Bobby, sorry, you're not doing it. It's Gunther or Brock, and they would be facing each other. Like I can see a possibility where Brock somehow enters the Elimination Chamber, does something to defeat Seth Rollins, and Gunther was the Royal Rumble winner. I don't think it's likely. I'm saying these are the only possibilities of winners. There's only five, Gunther and Brock being the final too.
I don't think Brock goes in this year because of what just came out today. He's involved in that filing.
All right. Well, I mean, it's a possibility, but you can still do something with those two. And again, I don't think it's likely. I think the three, Punk, Rhodes, and Rock, are the most likely. And yeah, and The Rock could go on and face Roman Reigns. However it goes, like
possible
I'm not
that
to
Okada
predict.
is an AJ no. Styles appearance, even though AJ was under no. contract when he was when he came in. So you don't think at all no. they don't debut him on here? Okay, do you think
no,
Jade Cargill comes in?
Oh, Jade Cargill is going to be in the women's match. I just don't think there's a place for her to win yet.
No. I think she's Kane. Yeah. I think she's Kane this year, and she throws out a bunch of people.
Yeah.
Go, oh,
but
look
somehow
at that
she loses. I would see Jade Cargill going in and possibly getting eliminated by Nia. And if Nia is not in the title match, you do yeah. Jade Cargill and Nia Jax.
Okay.
Like there's a lot of possibilities there. The same Brock was in a lot of Royal Rumbles that he didn't win. Like you don't have to be the big bad and have to win. Right. So those are my chances. 10 weeks. You also have Damian Priest walking around with that briefcase, by the way. Could he throw a wrench in things? He doesn't have to. He still has plenty of time till the summer to do something with the briefcase. But if you possibly need to get someone the title off of Rollins, which I was a proponent of this, I had no one to say it to because I'm not on the show anymore. But
could have come on just to do a quick hit.
Well, people talk about odd man out. Like, is CM Punk going to be the odd man out? Is Cody Rhodes going to be the odd man out? Like, is Brock Lesnar going to be the odd man out? Is Roman Reigns? Like, the odd man out kind of should be Seth Rollins. Like, Seth Rollins, I would have taken the title off of him before this injury. Because Seth Rollins, to me, doesn't have a place in the WrestleMania main event. Like, the title was great. Not everyone, Triple H, needs to have, like, a super long title run. Because the Seth Rollins matches are working. The title matches themselves in a vacuum work. But I just don't think he's the top guy on Raw right now. You have so many of these top guys. And you could probably do a more meaningful WrestleMania main event with one of them. CM Punk, Cody Rhodes, Gunther even. Having the title and going in to wrestle one of those other three. So to me, Seth Rollins is the odd man out. Like I would look to see him if there was no injury losing at Elimination Chamber and just being the odd man out at WrestleMania. But I already gave you my bold prediction. Sasha Banks returns. I think there's going to be a couple of NXT names in the Royal Rumble match. I'm not counting really Carmelo Hayes, who's kind of been up and down a little bit already. And I think it's interesting that they kept like the three most popular guys on SmackDown out of this Rumble, because if they were in it, it would be one of the most star-studded Rumbles of all time as far as big names being in the match. But they kept Knight, Orton, and Styles most likely out. Maybe one of them makes an appearance. Maybe
they might do double duty.
Appearance.
They may do that match first.
They very well could. To me, depending on the winner, like if it's Cody or CM Punk or The Rock, I think you do the Rumble, the men's Rumble last. But I could also see Roman Reigns going on last and maybe facing off with his Rumble challenger who's already won the match. Who knows? But yeah, I just think it's interesting that those three potentially might be left out of the Rumble. And if they do, like it's interesting because those would be three of the most popular guys, even though I don't think anyone thinks they would win. But to your last point, yeah, I don't think Okada shows up at this one. If Okada's showing up, I think they're doing a mystery match, kind of like Cody Rhodes at WrestleMania, where Okada's maybe Shinsuke's opponent. Like he fought off Cody Rhodes. He's wondering where he lies. He does all these vignettes, and then boom, Kazuchika Okada shows up.
Yeah,
and
I think he's going to NXT if he shows up. So
he could show up in NXT and still wrestle at WrestleMania, there's a possibility. Would they give 20 minutes of Philadelphia WrestleMania time to Okada and Shinsuke? Maybe not. What would the crowd reaction to Okada would not be the same as it was to Cody Rhodes in a big stadium, but there's a lot of possibilities. It's a very exciting time. There's a lot of good happening. It's WrestleMania season. I also feel like it's building up AEW in a way. They had the Continental Classic. I think people are more in tune with what AEW is doing right now, even if everything going on with the Undisputed Kingdom is just odd and kind of wish it wasn't on my TV right now. But wrestling, man. Wrestling's back.
You got any plugs?
Do I have any plugs?
Yeah, do you want people to follow you
like
at all?
Look like I have plugs?
No,
I
it
mean,
does not. No.
The hair's gone. No, do I have plugs? watch pro wrestling on TV every single day of the week.
You're welcome back anytime, sir.
Get well soon, Jason Ayers. And
yes.
That's my plug. Get well soon.
Cool. Talk to you later. We're back. I'd like to thank Rob McCarron for coming in. This is not the 10th anniversary birthday party I wanted, Chris.
Yeah, well, take it from a veteran of some shitty birthdays. You'll get through this, but it'll be scarring. No. It's gonna be traumatizing. But we're gonna get through it.
I've already put the warning label. I've recorded warning audio for the preamble that people have already heard in video. So hey, I'm not gonna worry about monetization on this shit.
Well, no. I couldn't. I was going to do my own version of a trigger warning for anyone moving into this portion of the show as well. One, language is not going to be modulated like that, because applying a filter and trying to encapsulate the level of fucking depravity that we have to discuss today, to sort of modulate language on this, I think would do a disservice to the intensity and the gravity and the seriousness of the story. Also, once again, for anyone who might be sensitive to subjects involving sexual assault, torture, or
sex trafficking,
someone who, if you just don't need to endure a discussion of a profoundly evil human being at this exact moment, this is your off ramp. Now is the time. Because beyond here, it gets fucking bleak.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're gonna end on it, but there's a couple other stories to bring up first. First of all, attention must be paid. Rest in peace, Ice Train, Harold Hogue, dying this week at the age of 56. That's well into your fandom here, I believe.
Oh yeah, Chris. Oh, I remember Fire and Ice, the dynamic duo of Scott Norton and the Ice Train.
They were such a good Haas team. I mean,
they were fun.
I mean, they weren't technically superior, but they were just big dudes who could throw dudes around, and that's all I wanted out of my wrestling when I was that age.
And like, just a good classic visual compliment. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, no, it just they look like a tag team of like two guys who are like different but alike, and like, you know, like the classic buddy comedy thing.
Also, the worst turn for a breakup in that whole NWO thing when Norton turned on him, because it's just like after that, there was nothing for Ice Train to do.
Right.
The turn was kind of out of nowhere, which was stupid. And you're just like, okay, whatever. It just really, he did nothing after that Fire and Ice thing. He was like a prelim dude, just nothing.
Let's be real about the Outsiders real quickly. They completely nuked the WCW tag division.
Yes.
Like whatever you want to say about Scott Hall and Kevin Nash, they nuked what was a damn good tag division. Though with the Faces of Fear, the Steiner Brothers, Fire and Ice.
That was the match that they had to do for the tag titles, I believe, or it was the first match they had. It's like, we've obliterated all the babyface tag teams. Who's left? Oh, at this pay-per-view, it's going to be a match against the Faces of Fear, and we're going to make them look like dorks. It was just, yeah, I agree on that. Big news this week, other than the news that we're going to get into, the big business news, not the big personal news.
I can't go big news on this. I mean, it is, but like, it's not. It's whatever. No, I mean, this is look. This is a shitty episode.
Yes. Netflix signed with WWE signed with Netflix. Within this contract, they have the option. Netflix has the option to cancel the 10-year deal with WWE after just 5 years, and the option to extend the deal for an additional 10, according to a filing from TKO, meaning the WWE Netflix term could end up being 5 years, 10 years, or 20 years, whichever Netflix chooses. Company discloses the value of the deal over 10 years would be, quote unquote, in excess of $5 billion. As reported, although Jimmy Van over on Fightful did a pretty good breakdown on how this is not the increase in rights fees that TKO wanted, but it's, you know, it's minor, it's good. In addition, WWE Network internationally has shuttered, and classic content will be moving to international Netflix. So Raw will be on Netflix starting in January 2025.
Wow. I mean, look, this is a big deal for Netflix. Netflix is actually a very fascinating business story over the last several years, where they appeared to be on the brink with a loss of all of the different television show contracts, the syndication. Like, they lost Friends, you know, like they were losing, they're hemorrhaging a bunch of key shows. The Office, I remember
they
that
don't create their own IP, so they would always have be buying the rights to IP. And so what
they
happened
do
was,
but it's like Stranger Things only comes out every once in a while.
Yes, now they do, now they do. But in the beginning, they had, like, you know, they had Friends, they had The Office, they had all these rewatchable shows that everybody wanted. And then all the studios decided, well, why are they making money on it when we could be making money on it? And so they started buying just a slew of cheap, crappy, disposable programming and bad documentaries until they started making their own stuff, like Stranger Things, in there. And now you know, they've started to do their foray into live stuff, but their first live broadcast, it was an award show or something, and it just didn't go off or something like that.
But this has the real potential to actually make the WWE library very accessible. And if you are a WWE fan, you're going to get a Netflix account.
Not until Peacock loses the right to the library domestically. Well,
okay, that's fair. But, like, I think you're still going to get one so you can watch Raw.
Maybe, yeah. I don't know if there'll be pirate streams available out there to watch when it's live. For me, the pros are, look, it's going to be instantly available to stream. You're not going to have to wait 3 days or a week or 3 weeks to get it on the service. You can do that. I still don't buy that this is a good deal for WWE. I think there's a lot of their viewership that are of channel flipping variety, like to flip between this and Monday Night Football. You can't really do that on a streaming service. I don't know if all 1.5 or 1.8 million viewers move over to Netflix necessarily. I think
over the next 15 years, you're only going to see more aggressive cord cutting. Like, you know, my generation. My generation cut the cord. And I think you're going to see Gen Z and all of them doing the same thing. It's just one less bill to have. So, and if you're computer savvy, network, you know, internet savvy, you know where to get almost all this content for free if you really want to.
I just can't.
And I learned how to do it in the hard old days of going on to BitTorrent and Pirate Bay.
No, I'm with you there. It's just for me, I look at this, I go, eventually I think streaming is going to eat itself alive. And especially with more and more people streaming, then that's going to put more and more of a strain on internet providers, and then internet prices are going to go up. And everybody's going to figure out that it was probably just cheaper to stay on broadcast all along. I get that feeling that this is a, it's not that I'm hateful against technology or anything like that. It's just one of those things where it's like, everybody's starting to figure out that, you know, while we'd like to have a la carte cable service, which is really the Rosetta Stone here. If somebody could figure out a way to get, hey, the six channels I normally watch on television, if I could just have that as a service and buy it, and somehow make that a sustainable business model, I could. But right now, I mean, you're seeing these streaming services. It's just like people will buy them for the one show they want to watch and then dump them. It's one of those things where it's a business plan that can't please everybody. I don't know, Chris. I have doubts, but I understand your argument. And I think
it's good for Netflix. Look,
for Netflix.
Absolutely. It is as they are trying to make sure what their bedrock is. WWE goes in as maybe a cornerstone in their bedrock. Just the pay-per-views. People are going to watch that content.
No, they don't have the pay-per-views yet either. Those are on Peacock still. This is just Raw. This is just Monday Night Raw for right now.
Just Raw for right now.
Yes.
But for right now. I mean, and even just hanging on to Raw, I think is really good.
Here's my question, because Netflix is notorious for cutting things off like after a couple seasons. What if they cut them off after 5 years and say this isn't working out?
that's why this is a bad deal for WWE. It, like, essentially, if you're WWE, this is a bad deal for them because they've now bifurcated where all their library is, and they really need to have it all on Netflix or all on Peacock.
Yeah.
And I think the mistake here is sort of like, oh, we're going both ways. Why? To what end? You know, I don't think that does WWE any good. And if WWE gets Raw cut, where does that go? Also, Raw being on Netflix sort of, I think, hurts the Peacock deal too. So I think
it was bad of them to NBC
in two directions.
Yeah, NBC Universal has the SmackDown thing still. So,
yeah.
I mean, because they just went back to go over there on Tuesday nights. Yeah.
But how long is that Peacock deal? How much longer do they have on that?
No, they just went back. SmackDown just went back from Fox to the actual Peacock deal is I want to say 3 more years, but don't quote me on that.
I mean, at least the timetable is halfway favorable for WWE. Like, they could get Raw in there for 2 years. If that does okay, then
okay, hold on. I'm wrong here. I am absolutely dead wrong here, and I apologize. Okay, the Netflix deal looks to be beginning of a worldwide, all-encompassing deal for the company. Starting in 2025, Raw in the U.S. would move to Netflix and air live in the U.S., U.K., Ireland, Canada, Latin America, and most of the rest of the world. Key exceptions would be where Raw is under a long-term contract in different markets, key ones being U.S., India, Australia, the Middle East, and Japan. Aside from those markets, the Netflix deal would also include SmackDown and NXT on Netflix, as well as the WWE Network or local variations of such, with the major pay-per-view PLE events and archival footage also moving to Netflix at the start of 2025. Okay, no, I wasn't wrong. Okay, never mind. I'm trying to find it within this.
So all the library is moving to Netflix.
Yeah. No. That's international. That's international. Within the
but it's still, it's the library is still moving to Netflix internationally.
Here it is. Within the U.S., WWE can't move that programming to Netflix for several years due to the new SmackDown deal with the USA Network and NXT deal with CW, both of which expire at the end of 2029, and the PLE archival footage deal with Peacock, which expires in March of 2026. There we go. Okay.
Okay, so that's only 15 months of lag time before they can do that in the U.S.
Yeah.
So that actually could be, look, I think this whole, they get the deal started in 25. They have everything ready to go on international markets. And for those of you who know how to use a VPN, there you go.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm going to do, is get like a foreign VPN and watch international Netflix.
Yeah. I mean, like, if that's what you want, and that'll allow them to have the library all spick and span, every kink rolled out on debut day in March of 26, which will be a big deal.
Okay.
The timetable's really good for Netflix on this. You get 15 months to get this going. March is right around WrestleMania season. So if you actually can
do
get
we
that...
want to start campaigning to Netflix to be the curators of the WWE Network?
No, I know. I'm very excited about the idea of this library at long last not being archived in the absolute dumbest way ever.
Peacock didn't want us. Yeah.
As though you got me in the middle of a blunt smoking session to organize the WWE library, and I had to do it all in one night. So by like 4 or 5 o'clock, I'm just kind of like, fuck it. It goes over here.
Oh, what? You didn't want to go to season 3 of the Survivor series when you, jeez, it's like, put some effort into it, Peacock. And Peacock just would not do it. It's killing me. But in other news, Dwayne Johnson promoted to the board of directors of TKO. That came out Tuesday in between the Netflix deal and of course, this new thing with Vince, which we're going to end on because it's just so absolutely bleak. But yes, Dwayne is now management.
No, the great part about this is that he has to step in, Mr. I hate controversy, Mr. Mr. I have every single take run through a focus group like a politician.
Yes. Mr. I don't have an original thought or a strong opinion on anything.
There are politicians with stronger opinions, better defined, more authentic takes than Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Yes.
I love that he has to step into this week, and this is his first story.
This beverage has harder takes on issues of our day than Dwayne Johnson.
English food has more spice than Dwayne The Rock Johnson's takes.
My fear is that we turn this into the story. If he wins the Rumble on Saturday, it's because of his corporate influence, and we're going to get that character on TV. So we're going to have the Bucks over on AEW and then the corporate Rock on WWE trying to be the babyface fighting Roman Reigns or something. Thank you, Rock. Thank you, Rock.
Oh, God.
Much like the thank you, Vince. Crap.
This very much has Shaquille O'Neal taking over as the spokesperson for Papa John's.
Energy. No, that nails it. That's fantastic. That is absolutely what this is. We gotta get rid
of Boo Shaq. Can't Boo Shaq.
He's very charming. Look at him. You know, and all of that was just absolute Hollywood artifice too, that he was some sort of suave guy you could put in movies or TV shows, because every movie he did, he stunk in. So, yeah,
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
One last thing before we get into the bleak. Although this is fairly bleak. Kevin Patrick, released from WWE. He'll no longer be doing SmackDown. Not SmackDown, Raw. No replacement yet. Named, but I would assume Vic Joseph is getting the call up.
Yeah.
Or God knows, we can bring back Morrow, maybe. I don't know that you know what, I think Vic's going to do double duty till they hire some young guy.
I would guess Vic, and then maybe they try to get a sports guy or whatever. You know, like
Jimmy
maybe...
Smith wasn't bad. That was a
I didn't
thing.
Dislike Jimmy Smith. Yeah, no. Like he got good, right? Like he wasn't bad.
Even who's the kid who went to ESPN?
There was the
Abik, but that's not his name.
There was that one guy that they tried for like 3 weeks, and he stunk.
Okay, yeah.
Because he stunk, and Jimmy Smith. Part of it was that Jimmy Smith, they had tried a couple of guys, and Smith came in and really stabilized things. He was good.
I'll give you a name off the board that they might bring in because he's getting kind of ticked off at his other job, but he's still part of TKO, and that's John Anik over at UFC. He used to be an ESPN host. Got the job at UFC being a play-by-play guy, but he is so tired of the fans over at UFC. He may just ask for a change of scenery. Who knows?
Bring back Pat McAfee. Make him the lead. Make him the play-by-play.
Make him the play-by-play.
Oh my god! I can't believe he just did that.
I don't think he has time with his pod, with the show he does for ESPN and College Game Day, to then and he does Saturday games as well. It's just no. I don't think he has the time to
do wrong. I actually would like a play-by-play rotation.
That
would actually you just bring in a different guy each week for like you have four guys and they
use
just
your entire stable of announcers and then you know okay this is
because play-by-play. I mean, yeah, you got quote unquote the voice you trust or whatever, but one, you increase sort of the gravitas of every announcer because they all have called Raw at this point. So like everyone's prestige level kind of goes up. No one's prestige level gets knocked down by calling Raw. And Raw, like it should be the color commentators who are doing the personality lifting, not the play-by-play guy. So like the play-by-play should sort of be interchangeable.
Kathy Kelly's week on play-by-play.
Look, I mean, you know, if she could do it, you know, if she doesn't Renee Young it up, I'm into it.
Time. 67 page lawsuit filed by Janelle Grant, a former employee of WWE in U.S. District Court in the District of Connecticut, claiming that Vince McMahon engaged in sexual assault, rape, sex trafficking,
torture,
a bevy of charges here. First report by the Wall Street Journal, but here's what I would say. I would encourage everybody with a strong constitution, if you can, to read the actual 67-page filing of this lawsuit. I have a
ridiculously
ridiculously strong constitution. I've worked in big law in Hollywood, both full of scummy people, to be honest with you. And this thing, even if it's only 25% true, is one of the bleakest things I've ever read. It made me almost quit wrestling podcasting altogether because I felt so dirty of it. But Here's the gist of the suit. Janelle Grant was taking care of her parents. Parents passed away. She was left without a job. Resident manager where she lives says, "Hey, I know Vince McMahon."
I feel so bad for that guy. I think he was legitimately
trying to help.
Although my fear was
he might be part of this inner circle because this whole thing.
Yeah.
Chris, I'm going to let you get into details and rants and things like that. I don't know if I want to give my general my analysis of this just yet, but let me read some things from this. She claimed after years of emotional sexual abuse and manipulation, and after Linda McMahon had learned of the relationship, Grant was pressured to resign and forced to sign an NDA under the guise that McMahon would protect her financially and reputation and pay her $3 million. McMahon paid her $1 million and then stopped making payments, saying Grant had leaked information to the press. But in fact, what had happened was somebody in WWE leaked her name to Brad Shepard, allegedly, or Brad Shepard was the one who first broadcast this name. The suit outright claimed Vince McMahon and John Laurinaitis allegedly raped her in a WWE conference room, ignoring her protests and saying no means yes and take it, bitch. In addition, all sorts of lewd text messages sent to her, fantasy text messages that and porn, that or not porn, but that pictures of her that were taken were shared with various employees of WWE, including used in contract negotiations for one Brock Lesnar, in which she was also encouraged to make pornographic material to send to Brock Lesnar, who was promised sexual dalliances with her. There were that Vince McMahon had sent her to an alternative medical clinic where the doctor himself and Vince engaged in a threesome with Janelle Grant, where he also allegedly defecated on her afterwards. And that Linda McMahon had learned of the relationship and said that she would not, that Linda would not officially divorce Vince or make him give up the condo as long as Janelle signed an NDA. Also accusing that the claims that the former WWE board of directors in their investigation, she was claiming she was willing and ready to talk and that they never spoke to her about any of these allegations. This thing is just outright depressing, Chris.
I mean, the part at the end when McMahon basically pressures her, he gaslights in her.
Allegedly. We're saying allegedly.
Allegedly. What, yeah. Allegedly. Although
we don't want to get sued.
Before I begin here.
In the deposition or in the.
I know you said 25% earlier. I believe that like 85 to 95% of this is true.
Well,
like,
no, I'm saying, I said if 25%
yeah,
is true.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm not saying you said that you believe 25% is true.
I don't think she made up text messages. Let's put it that way.
No. I mean, the photos of the text messages are, I mean, I think, I'm sure like people could, anyone who's texted with Vince McMahon could detect his syntax from this and know with like relative, because he writes like almost like a 13-year-old child in a way.
Hold on to that thought about 13-year-old, because I'm going to get into that when I give my analysis, but go ahead.
Yeah. Look, the number of sex acts, I mean, it's, they're hard to stomach and they get increasingly bad. The one at the very end, when she finally has to sign the NDA and she gets gaslit into getting rid of her lawyer, she goes to McMahon's place and he forcibly shoves his genitalia down her throat to the point where she's gagging and like demands that he like looks up at her and like is like, this was her final thing that she had to do for him, like her final task.
There's a lot of humiliation kink in and just judging from, you remember, you know that what Vince always found the funniest thing in the world was, right?
Was humiliating hot women on TV.
No. I mean, in real life was
like pushing people into the pool.
Pushing people into the pool.
Yeah, I captioned that. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, and fully dressed people in their pool so that their clothes would be ruined and,
yep.
Oh, they don't look so. He has a humiliation kink, and there's so much of that reads through this.
I mean, but like the other thing I wanted to say that's detailed in there, that I mean, this is why this is a jungle fire inside of this corporate office, is that Vince McMahon developed and fostered a culture of torture, capital T torture, where everybody in this upper deck, this inner circle of people knew this was going on. Many of them participated in it. Who didn't work with Johnny Ace? Michael Hayes, all of these like top level people, they all knew about it, had to turn some sort of blind eye about it. But like, he created a torture culture. And that takes years to develop.
Yeah. He had a whole society around him. It wasn't just the people in the office, and you know, the people in the office, you know, that's even the worst part. She goes into this job and everybody knows about this, and you know, she doesn't really have anything, but it's like, oh, I have a doctor. I need to go to the doctor. Oh, I have a doctor and the doctor is in on it. You know, the whole thing too. It's like a weird, you don't want to say Epstein Island type of situation, but it's that kind of thing where it's like, all these high profile people, it's like, oh, I have a doctor, go to them. And then the physical therapist says, hey, let's have a threesome type of a thing. It's like, what in the hell?
And Vince just expects you to do this. I, you know, and Beyond the humiliation thing, I think there's just like this inherently, Vince loves the power differential thing too.
Yes.
So getting someone like her who is at an extreme point of financial, emotional, and personal fragility and breaking them, like, it's so, he's a monster.
She was already broken, and she went
and he wanted to break her more thing.
Yeah.
To bring, you know, her into this Venus flytrap of a corporate office.
I'll take care of you, you know, and it's like, even that first meeting where he's describing surgery on his knee, on her leg, and you're just like, if that wasn't the first sign, I mean, and the big hugs and, you know, I'll be your father figure, you know, and you see this in bits and pieces where wrestlers come to the back and they hug Vince after their big, thank you for giving this to me, daddy, kind of a thing. And you're just like, this is the whole culture of that company with that man in charge. But here's the other overarching thing. And this is just about Vince. And it goes to your 13-year-old thing, because you read these messages and he's passing around pictures and videos. Look at this. This is who I had, type of thing. He has that 13-year-old porn brain going where look, I'm not proud to admit this, but, you know, back in my teens and 20s, I had a healthy porn addiction in some ways. And you know, you go and watch movies or you see videos or you see comments and stuff like that. And there's always the guy who's taking it to another level. Like, hey, when is she going to sleep with some black guys or when is she going to do anal? You know, the people with the certain kinks in there, type of a thing. And that is Vince to a T. He has porn brain rot going on where he's giving her rape fantasies. On there. I want to see three black dudes rape you in all your holes or something. And you're like, what hell?
Like the way he used the sex toys. I mean,
that too.
The way he used the sex toys to cause internal injuries to her. And that was the intention. That was the goal. He was getting off on injuring her internally. I think a couple of times with others in the room and they were watching it too. Like that was the point. I mean, you know, there's just these various points where she, like, you feel like they sort of just document how much pain she was in and the anguish and stuff that she was in after each one of these. And the one after the extremely large sex toys one, that was an unbelievably dark beat in the story. Just here, like... I keep going back to it. I mean, he's a monster, and we've seen on TV innumerous times sort of his pathologies played out in various segments on Raw and SmackDown. And I think sometimes people might think, you know, oh, you can read too much into that. I never have been one of those people. I've always believed that McMahon's actually quietly been telling on himself on screen with so many of these segments for years. It's just that, like, most people don't want to see the signs. And I mean, I wonder how many people are in his inner circle after reading this still don't fully believe that Vince is capable of doing such a thing.
I think it's almost like, you know, the criminal who wants to be caught when he says he's subtly telling on himself.
Yeah.
It's almost like he's proud of it. And he's telling you that on TV. The one thing, and I didn't see this and you can correct me here, the one thing that gives me a little bit of pause is that police were never brought into this. Kind of thing. And I understand the fear and stuff like that. It's not that I'm saying she's lying or anything like that. Because there's way too much in here to do that. And those text messages and stuff like that. But I mean, It's not just.
I think that he just completely overwhelmed her. You know.
That's true too.
I mean, like we of course know what an overwhelming and strong and dominating personality Vincent Kennedy McMahon is. And I just think he read this person and just knew how to completely bulldoze her.
Yeah. And that's true too, is that he knows his victims because he deals with these people that he brings in.
A lot of these wrestlers are broken asses.
Yes,
right?
They're broken. They have needs. They need to be validated. They've been working in this garbage carny industry for years, and they're looking for success, and they crave success. And Vince is the guy that can give it to them, and so they know that need. And it's one of those things where it's not just the wrestling environment and stuff like that. You know, and he's passing around her picture to people in production and people, you know, in creative and the crew. And then she has to go into the office and, you know, and if you've ever been in a gossipy office, you know how hellish that can be. You know, and she's getting it from all sides here.
But that's part of the humiliation kink too. Like, that's a humiliation culture. And it's also, and this is the other thing, right? Think about this. Vince is subtly sending the message to everyone. This can fucking happen to you too, pal.
Yeah.
Like what I'm doing to her right now, she's the town idiot in the gallows or in the stocks. This can happen to any of you. I can debase and degrade and turn any of you into a laughing stock and make sure that everyone around laughs at you as they're like with my jokes. When you're the punchline, everybody laughs. I can make sure of it.
It's almost the cruelty is the point.
Right.
Have you heard, you've heard that phrase before? It really is on a lot of this. It's one of those things where you read it and you go, all right, I've dealt with some jerks. I've dealt with some egomaniacs. I've dealt with that, but this level of cruelty.
It's sadistic.
It's sadistic. It's purposeful. It's sociopathic. I mean, there's no doubt about that. It's calculated. That's the word I'm looking for. It's calculated. It's almost like, you know, you hear about this one and you know, I can imagine a scenario. I'm not saying this is what happened, but imagine a scenario where it's like, you know, resident manager writes Vince and goes, hey, I got this girl. Oh, tell me more about her. Well, you know, her parents died. And then Vince immediately calls her, hey, guys, guess what? Fresh fish type of a thing. You know, it's like, and when I'm done with her, I'll pass her to you. It's like, that's the other part that just always gives me the willies. It's like, okay, I don't even care enough about her to keep her for myself. I'm going to share her with my friends and my employees. And it's just.
Well, that's more power, right? The ultimate power is to take someone who you possess, share them with someone else, and know that you can pull them right back because they're yours. They're like a yo-yo.
Yeah. I was so crestfallen reading all this and just to the point where I was starting to forget certain aspects of the cruelty from earlier because new cruelty has entered the building.
New cruelty entered the chat. Well,
it's like,
I mean,
wait, what was that horrible thing I read 20 pages back? Oh, because I was reading this other text. The fact that he doesn't spell out you in his text message, he has a flip phone, doesn't he?
Does he still do T9? Yeah, he's still doing it. Yeah, he's still on T9.
Yeah, something like that. Like, just because I'm just reading this, because 13-year-old is all I kept thinking the entire time is he never emotionally progressed.
No,
13.
No, he never got past it. He doesn't know how to look at people as people. I think he never got over being belittled and being poor early on, and whatever his dad did or whatever people said around him or whatever.
Well, here's the irony. Here's the big irony is because well, control is the big theme of his life. He's controlling her. When you're an employee, he tells you, you know, you can't sneeze in a in a meeting because it's a lack of control of your body on this part, which sort of ironic that a guy with the clean fetish like that is into scat, possibly. But on the other hand, he can't control his lust. For all the things about his control power and other people need to control their emotions and they need to control their body function.
No, you project, right? So yeah. this is the other thing, like when we're talking about people telling on themselves, an observation of mine from life, and then also like doing news stuff. I did it for 10 years, and I captioned the news, and I've captioned McMahon, and like I've captioned a lot of interviews of high profile people. And one thing I sort of notice is they project their fears, their values, and their pathologies kind of on the world. They become the glass with which they see everything through. So like McMahon seeing everything through control, right? It sort of belies a I don't have control underpinning. And I think a lot of times, especially when people are pointing outwards and you see that sort of need to point outwards, that's a projection. Like that, especially if it's a recurring one. Oh, control your sneezes. Oh, control this. Oh, control that. Oh, what don't you control? Oh, you're manipulating. Oh, you're manipulating. Oh, this person's manipulating that. Wait, are you actually the manipulative one? Like this is the sort of thing that I've come to observe. I think, like, if I can say one positive thing for the human condition real quickly, which sounds kind of as a weird interruption to what is this fucking bleak nightmare, right? There is something, even in the worst of us, that necessarily needs the light and takes, and this is not a redemptive quality for these worst of us people, like people like Vince McMahon are bad, but I think it is slightly heartening for those of us who want to believe at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, like good can actually beat evil. Cause I kind of need to believe that sometimes, still want to believe that. I think it's heartening that there's something about people who are very bad that they have this way of revealing themselves, that secret keeping is actually a much harder endeavor than the secret keepers realize. And like, in a way, at least sometimes the truth outs.
I think for Fallout, the real issue here and the real levels of evil we're going to figure out, as for some reason, I looked at why you have your screen name as what it is right now, but I'm going to pass on that because I started to laugh.
Oh,
you have Ass Lord as your... Okay.
What? I didn't... That's not recent. I've been Ass Lord for a while.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to have this serious, and all I can see is I'm talking to Ass Lord right now.
Okay, you know what? Discipline yourself.
I was disciplined, but
you know, control yourself.
The board of directors thing is the thing that bugs me, because with the investigation, the internal investigation they had Simpson Thatcher do, if they put guardrails on what the lawyers could actually investigate for Vince, and if it is shown that Nick Khan, Stephanie, Vince, or not Stephanie or Triple H, somehow put all this under the rug. I don't know what Nick Khan knew and what when he knew it, but you know that Triple H and Stephanie probably know where some of the bodies were buried. But I also tend to think that Stephanie might be the type that goes, this is even worse than I could imagine it. I'm out of here type of a thing. But she's still on that board of directors where she doesn't want to hurt her daddy type of thing. And you're like, that could open them up for liability. If it's proven in there that she did go to them and they said, "Hey, we're, and they didn't bother to talk to her after this, or they kind of had said, "Oh, we'll take care of it," and they just kind of concentrated on, "Oh, here's the payoffs," kind of a thing. If they were just looking at the money and not any of the other things, if I'm TKO, I might just burn this entire place to the ground and start over with a brand new wrestling company that whatever debuts on Netflix is, but it ain't WWE. It's TKO Wrestling or whatever the hell it is. And you use the same talent, new presentation. You don't even refer to WWE anymore and you go on your merry way.
I don't think you can do that. I think there's too much. I actually have thought about that. I don't think that works, but dude, I think to your point here, it's kind of hard to imagine, especially knowing Vince. I mean,
we may see a major overhaul here. We may see.
No, you're gonna have to gut a bunch of these people. Because it's impossible to imagine Vince, especially with all the passing around, the prolific nature of the passing around of content on this. Of course, he was strutting around going, "I'm fucking a porn star, bud. I don't know, your wife's kind of fat and sloppy, but like, look at her. That's what I'm going home to fuck tonight." Like, he was doing that all the time. So it's kind of hard to imagine that like this wasn't out there. The question is, can like Paul Levesque and Stephanie McMahon outrun the fire on this? Is there enough paper trail to connect all of these people and we'll burn all the way to them? But
she's no longer in the company, but it should still fire back on her possibly if there's liability here. But yeah,
right. Yeah, no, but and if I'm TKO, I keep the WWE name, but I am like literally wiping any vestige, anyone who's a McMahon loyalist, gone. Like they all have to go.
And Rock becomes the face of the company and the CEO.
Absolutely. for the people.
Until his weirdness comes out one day and then we're all just screwed. But
did it for the Rock. I did it for the people.
Oh, no. Oh, that'll happen. Hopefully Rock doesn't know about any of this.
I think these types of things. I think unless they can show, I don't think it's
going to Rock is on that level where, you know, not this conquest, but a previous conquest, you know, Vince, "Hey, Rock, want to join me?" You know, that kind of thing.
No, I mean, if you're Rock and you got anything to hide here.
Now's the time to say it. Now's the time to tell
everything or get the hell out of Dodge.
No,
get the hell out of Dodge.
You go to that woman's lawyer and you go, "I have a deposition to give. I would like to give it on the record."
Yep.
And you can seal it until you need it. But I'm getting it out there just so you know, I know about these things right now. Because I don't want to bug what's going on right now, but I know about these things. Yeah. You have to go.
Rock's legal team is probably working overtime right now.
Yeah.
His PR, there is currently, I'm sure you're familiar about this. There is a data center in Utah that is large enough to capture the internet 25 times over. It was very large. It was developed during the war on terror. What a lot of people don't know about is there is a data center in Hawaii where all of the Rock's people are assembled, from his legal team to his PR team. And right now they are actually using the same amount of energy, believe it or not, as the data center in Utah.
They're the team behind RoboCop, and they put Rock down on a chair every night and they program things into his head. And there's a directive four for Rock. We don't know what it is yet. We don't know what it is.
There's an Apollo launch team sitting behind all of the boards. Oh no, new deposition. Emergency meeting in the other room.
He starts flailing in the chair. He's having dreams. What's going on?
Oh no, he's having feelings. I know. Trust me. I know. Feelings suck.
Guys, we can't pivot from that to a lazy river about AEW and their lame stuff.
Like, so. What do you want me to say, guys? Samoa Joe is a very solid champion for AEW. I like what he contributes to the show. And I think if you really need to think about the wrestling of the week, consider how in a handful of weeks with far less skitlets and bullshit, Samoa Joe is the champion of AEW, whereas MJF for months felt like the guy who is the main character of the show, whose character was I played the champion of AEW.
Yes.
There you go. There's your wrestling thought.
Well, actually, no. Give me one more. Because the Rumble.
Rumble's
a big deal. So tell me who you think's going to win. Because to me, there's only like really two people who can win.
There's only two people. I mean, I kind of feel like it comes down to Punk and Rhodes. Like,
oh, really? I think it comes down to Rhodes or Rock. It just depends who's gonna Rhodes be going up against Roman.
Oh, it might come down to Rhodes, Rock, and Punk.
That's true.
Like that could be. I mean, potentially a very interesting Rumble. In that case,
oh, it's a very interesting Rumble, especially if anybody in that four way is gonna be in it too, because have. Like,
I guess I will say Rock wins.
I'm going with Cody. I'm going with Cody, and I'm going with Bayley in the women's. I think it's fairly obvious that if the men's story is on Raw, then the women's story is going to be on SmackDown, and that's going to be Bayley and Io. So I think that's going to be the way they go with it. So I think Bayley wins the Rumble.
I mean, what could be interesting as a pivot here too would be Rock and Punk like double eliminate each other, and it's a swerve so that we actually get to the sub-main event.
We still have Elimination Chamber. Elimination Chamber could
The Rock versus CM Punk is a very solid Mania program.
And I think that Kevin Owens and Logan Paul steal the show because they're just going to be insane.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're going to leave it at that. You can follow me at CrapGame13 on X. You can follow Chris on Instagram at Dr. Nov. That's DOCTOR_NOV. You can follow Shake Them Ropes at Shake Them Ropes on X. I'm on Fight Game Media. If you want to hear my AEW thoughts, I deconstructed Dynamite on there. That drops every Wednesday. We go live about 20 minutes after the show on YouTube. We got thorough into the AEW there. So that'll be good. Chris, what are your plugs?
Go on to my Instagram. You can, we already talked
about
that.
Ass Lord, what are your plugs?
Like, look, the Ass Lord, his dominion is all of ass. And don't. You smug. You're fucking
dismissing it because I'm uncomfortable with it.
It's dismissive. You're uncomfortable with, okay. So, that you gotta get a little bit more secure in your masculinity, pal. The Ass Lord is comfortable. A bit of an ass master, am I? So follow me on Instagram if you want guitar lessons, bass lessons, drum lessons, ass lessons. I will teach anything that you want to learn. Like ass forever.
We just talked about Vince. You can't do that.
Fuck Vince McMahon. Like, no, fuck. Okay. Here's just a couple of, like, 30 more seconds. Okay. I think something for people to consider this week is the broader historical significance of this story in terms of the whole history of wrestling. We talk about the steroid scandal as being a big thing. This is bigger than the steroid scandal. If all of this is I think the deposition, frankly, is compelling enough. And if you really, I need to see how it plays out in court. It's sort of a naivete about how courts work sometimes. It really is. I think at a certain point, I like to say this phrase, sometimes you don't need to know to know. And I think this is a very good example of where, no, you're never going to like know, but fucking read this and tell me you don't know. And then you have to reassess McMahon, his impact on the industry, and what his name and what his thing really means. I don't think it's possible to separate the art from the artist. I think that, you know, if the artist is a monster, it makes it very, very hard to enjoy their art. And I think like, you know, I don't know that I'll be able to enjoy a Stone Cold Steve Austin versus Mr. McMahon segment, even though it's McMahon who gets the stunner at the end of each one. He's the one getting humiliated. More humiliation fetish. He fucking sucks, Jeff.
We'll see you next week.
Hello, do you like New Japan Pro Wrestling? Are you a Shin Nihon freak? If so, check out the Super J-Cast with Joel and Damon on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
And even if you fucking hate New Japan Pro Wrestling, listen to the Super J-Cast anyway. Not just for our great show reviews, analysis, and pastrami sandwiches, but there's also usually some dick jokes somewhere in the obligatory opening 30 minutes of absolute nonsense we chat about every single week. That's the Super J-Cast for all the best talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling, crisps, and pornography.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.